Let's go to the phones. You can hear him on ESPN LA when he's not roaming the NBA sidelines. Pardon the interruption around the horn. He's all over the place on ESPN doing a hell of a job. George Sedano joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. George, we're going to hit you with one out of left field. We've been talking about it all morning. We want your thoughts on this one. You have a 100-sided die. On one side of the die is instantaneous and painless death. On the other 99 sides of the die is a $1 million tax-free prize. How many times would you roll that die?
That's a good question, man. God, you're asking me the tough ones right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate.
I would say easily, I am at times somewhat risk-averse, especially when it comes to death. I kind of like my life. So I say, you know what? I'll roll the dice like 10 times. Why not?
10 times? Wow. Really?
Yeah. What the hell? You know, you're going to go sometime. You're going to go. You know what I mean? Let's be real.
All right. I like it. George Sedano with us here on 95.7 The Game. So let's get into some actual sports, or at least what could be the return of sports. We all saw the report yesterday. The NBA is working towards a plan where perhaps at the beginning of June, we'll find out that there is a plan in place, and that involves players returning to training camps middle to late June, and then boom, by the middle of July, we could have basketball back in our lives. In Disney World, all the players quarantined on the Disney World property playing hoops. How do you feel about this plan? Does this feel like one that might actually have some traction, like we're headed towards a finish line here?
Yeah, I do like the plan if that indeed becomes the plan. I've been kind of touting this plan on my radio show for a while and talking about it on TV as the one that I would prefer, mostly because of the logistics of it. Here's the thing. With Walt Disney World in Orlando, and look, I grew up in Miami, so about 3.5 hours south of Orlando. So I've been there plenty of times. And you're talking about a property that's got about 40 miles in radius and 25 resorts on the property. So if you're going to create this bubble or campus atmosphere, as Adam Silver has decided to call it now, which, by the way, sounds a lot better than bubble atmosphere, okay? I'm with him on the phrasing of this thing and the messaging, because I think it just helps the psyche a little bit. So if you create this campus atmosphere at Walt Disney World, you've at least got the ability to literally close off entrances and exits from the rest of the world, because you have that at Walt Disney World surrounding the 40-mile radius of land. And you've got enough resorts to be able to house all the teams, all the personnel that needs to be there, because you're talking about between league people, teams, and whatnot. I mean, you're talking about close to 2,000 people. So if you can kind of separate them, that would make some sense. So that facility makes sense because of that. And they have the Disney Wide World of Sports. They also have another facility on that particular property where the NBA does their NBA Junior Championships, where it's basically a bunch of kids playing. They are NBA regulation-sized courts. And, of course, they're already built for TV, all those different courts that I mentioned. So I just think from that perspective, from a logistical standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. And let's face it, Vegas to me, I wouldn't prefer Vegas. In a normal circumstance, sure. But right now, because of the possibility of Vegas all of a sudden opening up and random people being in there and just the natural distractions that we already presume would be there, I just think that with Walt Disney World, you're in a much better situation keeping everyone safe and sound.
And if you go to that self-contained campus environment, does that allow you to then have a real, quote-unquote, postseason tournament where you're going to have best of fives at the minimum, or maybe even traditional best of sevens, as opposed to what has been floated before about maybe shorter series?
Yeah, I think you have a much better shot at that, for sure. I think you look at it, and because everyone is, in theory, in some cases, even within walking distance of the particular arenas, I think that it allows you to play every other day if you have to, you know, if you have to speed that up. Here's another step that I would take, and I know that the Players Association wouldn't go for this, but I've run this by a number of NBA people, including some of our insiders, as a theory that I'm surprised hasn't been floated out there, which is what I would do is, since they're going to be training in their own facilities for a while, right? What I would do is those last 2 weeks of their quote-unquote training camp, I would have all the teams involved, regardless of the amount, right? Because we don't know if it's going to be all 30 teams or not. But whatever amount of teams are going to be in this campus atmosphere, their last 2 weeks of training camp should be done in the campus atmosphere. That way, when you get them on campus, you test them right away, and you test them frequently early on. And if someone tests positive, there is a chance that you can quarantine them, and they won't miss games, right? Like, I mean, there's possibly they miss a few, but there's a less of a likelihood that they would actually miss meaningful games. And I think that would be the smart way to handle this. I'm sure the league has already thought of it. I would just imagine that the Players Association wouldn't necessarily go for it. But I do think if we're going to go for safety, if you can convince the Players Association to do that, I think that's the best possible outcome.
That's an awesome suggestion there. I think that would be the best outcome as well. The Last Dance, I think that everyone's been seeing it. We don't have basketball, but we got to see Michael Jordan up close and personal, and it made people change their perception of him, made people love him, made people hate him. How impactful do you think this is on a guy like a LeBron James? In a positive, negative way, how do you think all the scrutiny, they want to compare MJ to LeBron, how impactful you think this is on his legacy moving forward?
I think it's quite impactful. I mean, he gets to relive all this stuff, right? Like, LeBron James is only 7 years younger than I am. So, I mean, while he may not remember that first three-peat, he's old enough to remember that second three-peat pretty
sure.
well. He might have been old enough to remember the first three-peat, but either way, I just think it kind of lets you kind of relive those moments and just kind of see who you're facing, you know, because let's face it, LeBron James has talked about it himself. He said he's only competing against ghosts at this point. That was a direct quote he made several years ago. And, you know, look, it was pretty obvious he was talking about Jordan at that point. And I just think he's taking the right tact here. Like, he's shown reverence while also standing his own ground. I know that he was a little perturbed the other day because he was on his platform uninterrupted, and I guess he was asked about what it would be like to play with Michael in that situation. And he said, look, no disrespect to Pippen, but I feel like if you put me and Michael together on the same team, you know, it would be unstoppable. And that quote was taken and misconstrued, and all of a sudden the headline screamed, LeBron James doesn't want to be Jordan's adversary, he wants to be his teammate. And then he corrected the record. So I can see where, while he's watching it in real time, he's like, you know, reliving all this and reliving his childhood because he's told great stories recently about meeting Jordan and watching Jordan and growing up idolizing him. But I can see where it also could be annoying for him because his words are taken out of context. And I feel like we just do that with him specifically. We do it so much where he says something and all of a sudden everything gets extrapolated, right? And all of a sudden parsing words. And it's just, I can see where that would be annoying, too.
You can hear him on ESPN Los Angeles when he's not roaming the NBA sidelines. George Sedano, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks for your time, George. We know you got a lot going on. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You guys too, man. Maybe I'll roll the dice 5 times. You guys can talk me out of 10.
All right. Thanks for following up on that. We appreciate it.
You see you guys. Take care.